Good morning. It is April 22nd, 2024. This is episode 145 of the Paul Green Comedy Podcast, a podcast by a dreamer for all you dreamers out there. Stand-up comedian and actor Paul Green documenting my journey as a comedian and just trying to be as transparent as I can as I try to navigate this next phase of my life. And when it comes to transparency, that's interesting because I don't know how 100% transparent I am in all things. I think every one of us, we have a few filters. There are maybe certain things we want to say but don't, or there's certain maybe things that we feel or actually think or an actual opinion. But I was just thinking about how often do we ever really just like 100% unfiltered, unadulterated say what we're actually thinking, what we're actually feeling without any sort of filter? And I don't know the answer to that. I know for me, it's almost never. So even as transparent as I try to be on my own podcast, I definitely acknowledge that I do present a little bit and, you know, put a little bit of presentation or a little bit of a filter on maybe the depth of things that I'm feeling, especially things that are negative. You know, I have a tendency to try to lean towards being a positive person. And so if I'm experiencing negativity or discouragement, I definitely try to put more of a filter on those, or maybe present those experiences, or maybe just choose not to address them and maybe address something else. Why do I bring all that up? I was really discouraged, and I've been pretty discouraged this last little while. In general, I've been kind of in a state of general discouragement. But within that general state, I sort of have my ups and downs within it. As I'm trying to navigate through this next phase of my comedy journey, and this next phase has been pretty daunting. Those of you who follow the podcast know that I've really been in a state of starting over. And trying to rewrite and reconfigure my entire comedy act. And it has been very daunting and very discouraging. And it's really surfaced just a whole lot of me. And, you know, and I think that's, oh, geez, okay. I think we're going to get real philosophical here as I'm starting to pull on this thread. So here we go. This is really funny. I was actually just listening to... So Jimmy Carr has been popping up on my social media a lot lately, but not his stand-up clips. He did some sort of podcast or something, which when the clips of that podcast pop up, he's really sort of in self-help mode, kind of life philosophy mode. And he was talking about how there really is no journey. There really is no destination. All there really is self-discovery. And no matter where it is that we think we're going, no matter what it is, these are my words. This is my interpretation now. But no matter where it is we think we're going or what we're trying to accomplish or what we're trying to get, at the end of the day, all we're trying to do is discover who we really are and discover what we're made of. And upon that discovery, then we have the choice of what we want to do with that discovery, whether that means more growth, more improvement, more acceptance. Who knows? But as I've really started to challenge myself to be a lot more vigilant with writing, a lot more vigilant with really just comedy as an art form. And I should be more specific, because comedy is a pretty general genre. And what I mean specifically is written stand-up comedy routines. Those of you who know my background know that I started as an improviser, and I love improv, and that was my jam. I was really good at it. I was in a short form improv troupe that we would do a live show 4 times a week, sort of like a Whose Line Is It Anyway type of format, short form improv games, and I loved it. I didn't ever want to do stand-up. Stand-up terrified me. Stand-up was this thing that I loved. I love watching stand-up. I love Brian Regan, love Seinfeld. I love watching the Seinfeld show. All of the stand-up comedians who had this, you know, who got into the sitcoms when I was growing up, you know, in the 80s and the 90s, you know, Roseanne Barr, Ellen, Tim Allen, Ray Romano, you know, they all had sitcoms. They were all stand-up comedians. I remember watching the old Louis Anderson show. Louis Anderson had like a stand-up comedy showcase type show, you know, where he would have 3 or 4 stand-up comedians on television. I remember, you know, watching the old Johnny Carson show, watching Dave Letterman, watching The Tonight Show with Jay Leno when Jay Leno took it over, watching Conan O'Brien, watching all those late night shows, like, you know, with my dad. And of course, they would have stand up comedians. And I remember watching the stand up comedians and just going, oh my gosh. It was just something that seemed so unattainable to me. So I started doing improv, and improv came very naturally to me. I loved doing improv comedy. I loved doing improvised scenes, improvised characters, improvised skits, those improvised games. And that was like my first love. After about 6-7 years of doing that, I started dabbling very lightly into stand-up comedy, and I did not enjoy it. It did not come easy to me. It was not natural. I struggled so much to feel comfortable writing a joke, writing bits, and then standing in front of an audience just by myself and delivering that material and trying to get them to laugh with what I had written, as opposed to being in an improv situation where I have a cast, I have teammates, we get audience input, we get audience suggestions, and then creating comedy with a cast in front of a live audience. For some reason, that was a lot easier for me to do. So, anyway, I have been just thinking about all of that, how I started as an improviser. That's what I've always wanted to do. I started doing stand-up. It never felt as natural or easy for me to do the actual stand-up portion of stand-up, which is the writing and the material. Now, when I can riff and go off script, that feels very natural to me because that leans towards my improvisational background and comfort level. So why have I been discouraged? Just because I have really just started to look at where I'm at as a stand-up comedy writer, where I'm at with my act, and where I've come from, and where I want to get, and it just feels really insurmountable to me. Because, to start out with what I was talking about, you know, any sort of dream that you go on or any goal or journey that you have, all you do is you really find yourself. And I'm finding myself with a pretty significant deficiency to find the discipline and the metal to really get meticulous with my writing and my material. And feeling confident that what I write will be very, very funny. And funny consistently, and funny in that way that starts to build a brand and build recognition and, you know, gets to the point to where people are like, oh my gosh, you gotta see this guy, you know, like the Bill Burrs and the Brian Regans and the Nate Bargatzes and the Bert Kreischners and the Kevin Harts and the Dave Chappelles and the Sarah Silvermans, and all of these stand-up comedians who have not only mastered that art, but have mastered it in a manner that has developed a brand and a brand recognition to where, you know, when people go to see Brian Regan, they know exactly who they're getting. And to add to the discouragement, so I had forgotten about this, but the first time that I had ever actually done stand-up comedy was in 2012. Now, usually I say that I started stand-up in 2014 because that was the first time I took a stand-up comedy class. But there was this random show that I did. Now, this was back when I was an active member of the LDS faith, and I was single, and there's a huge LDS singles community where I live. And there would always be events and always be activities. So this buddy of mine, he produces this comedy night just kind of independently in his backyard. His parents were very wealthy. They had a nice big house and this huge backyard. And he was very popular. So he does this comedy show as an event, like a singles event for all the LDS singles in his backyard. And like a couple hundred people show up. Now, at that time, I was performing improv. And I was a bit of a local celebrity. People knew that I did improv at this improvisational troupe, which was actually very popular amongst LDS singles because it was a family-friendly comedy club and, you know, LDS, the LDS faith is real big on enjoying clean entertainment. And so it's pretty difficult to find clean comedy pretty much anywhere. But you know, here in the Phoenix area, but there was this clean comedy improv troupe that I performed at, and LDS singles would come to that all the time. And we used to do events, we used to do LDS singles events. Like, we would go to LDS churches with this improv troupe and perform for LDS singles all the time. I did that, you know, probably at least two or three times a year, like an actual LDS singles event. So I was kind of known as like this comedic performer in the LDS singles community. So again, my buddy does a stand-up show. Now, again, I'd never done stand-up before. I'd always just done those improv shows. But because I was a comedic performer, my buddy says, "Hey, Paul, I'm doing a stand-up comedy show. You should come do some stand-up." And I was kind of nervous to do it. I didn't know how to do it. But I was like, well, that will be an interesting opportunity. And to be quite honest, at that time, I was probably mostly motivated by the notion of performing in front of a bunch of single LDS women. I wish I could say that wasn't a motivating factor, but it was actually probably one of the primary motivating factors of like, oh, well, I'll go do this and, see how it goes. So I don't remember anything about how I put material together. I don't remember really writing. I just remember sort of just working out in my head some comedic ideas that I had. And so, this is probably more detailed than the story warrants, but it just so happened that the day of the performance, a good friend of mine who I actually met through the improv troupe was getting married up in Sedona. So I remember like telling my buddy, "Hey, I got to go to this wedding, but I'll do this show, but just so you know, I'll be there kind of late." So I go to my friend's wedding up in Sedona. It's beautiful. And then I'm cruising back down to the Phoenix area to get to this show. And I kind of get there late. And my understanding was there were a couple comics who were pretty bad, and some were actually kind of offensive. Now, again, this is an LDS singles crowd, so there's a religious sensitivity there. And I think some comedians didn't quite understand that sensitivity. There was a little bit of like some awkward things going on. So finally I get there and I go up on stage and I just start doing, for the first time ever, stand-up comedy. And I end up doing like 17 minutes. And I know it was 17 minutes because they recorded it. That was 12 years ago. That was the first time I'd ever done stand-up. I get on stage and I do 17 minutes. I found that video early this morning and I watched it. And it made me feel a lot of things. First of all, is that was 12 years ago, and I had this shocking realization that I'm not much different. I'm like, my life is fundamentally the same as it was 12 years ago. Pretty much every joke that I did in that set, I could do today and it would be just as relevant. I did a bunch of stuff about being single, a bunch of stuff about dating, stuff about social media, which is more or less what I still do now. So there was just this bit of like, holy shit, what have I done the last 12 years of my life? And when I watched the set, it was like it was okay. It was really unrefined, and by the way, and the crowd was like the most friendly, supportive crowd ever. So, they were really happy to find any excuse to laugh at me. And I had a couple bits that did okay. As a matter of fact, there was a joke that I did in there that I had forgotten that that was the first time I had did it. And it's a joke I've done recently. I actually did that exact same joke about 6 months ago in the show that I did in Tucson, where I tried to produce like a comedy special. And I'm going, I can't believe that a joke I wrote 12 years ago is still as relevant then as it is now, that I can still say it. And I will say that I have improved upon the joke a little bit than when I said it 12 years ago. So this is an interesting crossroads that I've come to. And again, to tie in how I had started this whole podcast talking about with Jimmy Carr saying that, you know, really the only thing that you're going to discover on the journey is yourself. And I just really started to understand and realize that whatever goal it is that I think I'm going for, whatever fame, fortune, Netflix deal, touring headliner, you know, killer set, whatever it is, what I'm really trying to discover and what I'm really trying to overcome is myself. And can I develop a new level of discipline, which is not native to me, which will just require some serious teeth grinding? And it is teeth grinding for me to sit down and write jokes in this moment that I think may or may not be funny. Well, obviously, which I think will be funny in a week or in a month or in 6 months. And because every time I go to write, my mind instantly goes in a thousand different directions, because I am so used to finding the funny in the moment, in the energy of whatever audience happens to be in front of me at that time, based off of whatever has happened in the room. That's all I did as an improviser. It's me in this moment with this audience, based off of this audience suggestion, with this improv game, and then being able to instantly find the funny in that scenario in real time. So the skill set to go, I need to comprehend or fabricate or create, discover, I don't even know what the right word is, a narrative, a series of words and emotions that I'm going to write down, and I'm going to write them down in a way that when I say those exact same words 5 days from now, or 20 days from now, or 6 months from now, or 12 years from now, they will elicit laughter from whatever audience, in whatever circumstance or scenario happens to be hearing them at that time. And that is just something that I have not mastered. And mastery, as anybody knows, is, what did they say, 10% inspiration, 90% perspiration. It's just work, 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 work. And that is what I am now confronted with, which is myself and my work ethic and my capacity to overcome my previous behavioral patterns regarding writing and perfecting stand-up comedy material. And it's just not coming easy. And maybe it's not supposed to. So, well, that's probably not the most encouraging message for today's podcast. But like I said, everybody, I am trying to be real and transparent about sometimes what it takes to get a dream. And sometimes it's just not this fun. Oh, look at you're living your dreams. Everything is great. There's just a lot of grinding it out in the trenches, being confronted with yourself, everything that you are at your being, having to stare yourself in the mirror and conquer some demons. And that's where I'm at. So, one thing that I have been working on, though, is writing every day, and I have been writing every day. And one thing that I did today is I wrote out the first joke of a Brian Regan comedy special. It was the comedy special he did in 2004 called I Walked on the Moon, which, in my opinion, is one of the greatest stand-up comedy specials of all time. This comedy special I have watched so many times, and it is so funny. So I'm trying to train myself to write within the similar format that Brian Regan writes in. And by the way, so do a lot of the great comics use this style of or this format of comedy, which is different than the format I've been using. So what I did is I wrote out word for word his first joke, and I said, I'm going to write out his first joke, and then I'm going to take everything that he wrote, his pattern, almost word for word, and I'm going to write my own joke on top of it and see if I can take his, I mean, just think of it like a, Microsoft Word template where it's like, here's the template. I just need to fill in my own beats or my own life experience. So, let's see. I wonder if I can actually play this for you.
Thank you, man. Feels great. I'm feeling good. I actually just recently had to go to the emergency room, though, and I had some stomach virus thing. I almost called an ambulance. It's weird, even considering calling an ambulance for yourself. You know, you call ambulances for other people, right? What are you supposed to say about yourself? Can you come get me? Yeah, I don't feel so good. Just come on in, I'll be lying on the floor. I'm just looking at the phone going, I don't know how to do this.
All right. So I typed up that joke word for word. And then I just thought, okay, how can I follow that exact same format with something that's gone on in my life? So here is my filling in of the template of that joke from Brian Regan. I'm feeling pretty good. I did just get out of a pretty serious relationship. You know, we were living together for a while. When I left, I had to move in with my dad. That's weird, right? To have to move in with your dad as an adult, you know? Like, what am I supposed to say to women I'm dating now? Hey, do you want to have a sleepover? Yeah, my dad said we could order pizza and watch movies till midnight. Just bring a sleeping bag for the couch fort. Just thinking, like, I have no idea how to do this. So, that is the joke that I wrote in the exact template of Brian Regan's opening joke. And you know, everybody, I just think that this is just what it's going to be for a little while, is me just really slugging it out, looking at the greats, looking at what they're doing, trying to see how I can write in the style of those who are already great. And then hopefully that will start to evolve until I find my style, what sounds the best coming for me. And hopefully I will be able to overcome myself, which is, I really which I'm learning, I think, is actually the only journey. And seeing if I can really start to craft a new stand-up set that looks and feels different than the one I did 12 years ago when I had absolutely no training, had done no open mics, had never written a stand-up comedy routine before, had never taken a lesson or had a class. And hopefully I will be able to at least do better than that. All right, everybody. You know, maybe this wasn't the feel-good, pick-you-up episode of the podcast, but again, as I said at the beginning, transparency is important. And, you know, if we're going to do this and we're going to go have big dreams and go for big goals, there is a lot of resistance and a lot of things that come up that are not fun and not always pretty and delightful to talk about. And that's why we need to talk about them. So, everybody, if you are in a state of discouragement, just know that you are normal. What you are experiencing is normal. You guys have no idea. I'm actually doing an impersonation of one of my old castmates from like 15 years ago who used to do this character where he was a childhood developmental psychologist. And all he would do is he would just tell all the kids, I want you to know that you are normal. What you are feeling is normal. All right, everybody. Let's fight through the discouraging times. Keep at it. Keep grinding. Keep overcoming self. And hopefully we will find some good experiences on the other end of that. All right, everybody. That is all for today, April 22nd, 2024, episode 145 of the Paul Green Comedy Podcast. I love you all so much. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you tomorrow.